If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin from verse 1. Praise you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. Jesus. And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, laying him on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, "Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he arose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Father, help us to find some application for each one of our lives as we look at your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning that you would touch hearts. Even if I don't say something, you could use something to trigger in each heart that would bring honor and glory to your name. We are dependent on your leading, your guiding, your counsel. So, Holy Spirit, have your way among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I was started to study this scripture, I had great difficulty. I was saying, but what can I preach from this little section? What can I share from this little section? And I prayed, and I'll give you what I believe the Lord has shown me. The first point would be, my friends responded with faith. My friends responded with faith. It was about, I think, 2 years ago, I went to a funeral. The funeral was for a baby that was stillborn. You know that if the baby is there and it's no longer have life, and it has gone to a certain stage, they let the mother carry it and deliver a baby that's dead. And the preacher was doing the funeral, and he apologized to the parents. And he said, "I want to apologize that I didn't have the faith to see that baby come to life. In your stomach, and that you could have delivered a live baby." Now, I probably wouldn't say that because I don't know what the plan of God is, but that's what he said. And he was referring to, I believe, to this very scripture. God can move on behalf of a person because of their friends. And I thought about faith for a while, and You say, but do you have enough faith? And then I remember for a while I had a little seed pinned up on the board. I don't know how many people passed the board here in the hall. And look at that little seed. It's called a mustard seed. And I thought that seed was very, very small. In fact, if you didn't stop and really take a look, you wouldn't see it. You'll miss it. And Jesus said this. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, be rooted up and make your way to the sea, and it will obey. And I thought about that for a while. And then I look and think about what I see in the church and how many times we pray for so many people. And I said, Lord, where is our faith? Now, as I was praying and I was asking God about this, you see, God gives us faith. And we all will say, yes, amen. God gives us faith. But I also believe that your faith grows by your involvement with Jesus Christ, by the time you spent with the Lord, by your desire for God. You know, I've read books about people who desire to see God move, and they did. What they did was they went and they locked themselves in a closet and they stayed there for 3-4 days. I don't know. And then when they came out and they start to operate in what God has shown them and how God has dealt with them, they see miracles. They spend time with God. And I wonder sometimes the reason why our faith is not maturing is because we ourselves are not maturing in the things of God. You see, if I had if Anya stayed, if today, you know that Anya celebrates her 16th birthday, if at her 16th birthday we were still holding her in our arms and feeding her with a bottle and trying to make her walk at 16, everybody would say something is wrong with that child. Folks, we have to grow. We have to grow in God. Now, I don't know what sparked these folks' faith. Maybe they have heard what Jesus was doing, and maybe they saw some of the things that Jesus had done. Remember, they are the ones who Jesus left them. He went over. Then he came back. So they knew that Jesus already had been working miracles, and their faith was ignited, and through their friend's faith, this man got a miracle. And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought him a paralytic, laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, Mark gives us a little bit more. Mark says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and when he had returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Most scholars think that's Peter's house. And many were gathered there. So there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing him a paralytic carrying by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I could just imagine. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been to into a concert and get turned away. I have done that. I got to a concert and guess what? It was so full, they turned us away. But I didn't try to make a way to get in because I know it's just a concert. I remember when Brownsville was having their revival. I wanted to go so bad. By the time I get there, the thing was past. And when I got there, I wish I had gone earlier. Here is these men with their friend. And their hearts were filled with faith. They knew that if we could just get our friend to Jesus, my friend will walk again. I don't know if he ever had walked before, but if I could get my friend to Jesus, he will be delivered from what is ailing him. And then they get there, and there was obstacles in their way. How many of us would have turned back and say, Harry, I'm sorry, but it's crowded. We'll come back tomorrow. All of us will come pick you up tomorrow. We'll try again tomorrow. But they knew that the opportunity was now. And because of their faith, you know, sometimes we turn back because we have lack of faith. But because they knew this was the opportunity, Jesus was the man, this was the time, we are here, we've got to make a way. I could imagine they're probably trying to push their way through the crowd. But because they had this cut, nobody was letting them through. And somebody came up with the bright idea, let's get on the roof. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had Jesus at my house and I heard somebody tearing up my roof, I was leaving that teaching and I was going outside to see who tearing up my roof. And I was going to tell them to stop. And if they didn't stop, I was going to take some action. In fact, if I came to your house and Jesus was there, I don't know if I want to tear up your roof. Because I don't want to be liable. But then you something was more important than the hole in a roof. And they did what it took because they had faith that Jesus was going to touch his life. When you have faith, you do the extraordinary. And they lay him down at Jesus. And Jesus touched him. Number one, the faith of my friends. Do you know your faith can help your brother, your sister, and even those that are not saved? Your faith can be what moves the heart of Jesus to meet their needs. Number two. So my friends respond with faith, and Jesus responds with forgiveness. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus, come on now. I bring this man for him to be healed. And you say your sins are forgiven? You know when Jesus said your sins forgiven, the guy is still laying there, crippled? I don't know if Jesus had other plans to restore him, but Jesus stopped there. He didn't go, "Your sins are forgiven, get up and walk, go and sin no more." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Sometimes when you go to Jesus with your issues, Jesus knows what's more important for you. You see, we may think that his physical healing was his most important need in his life. You know how you walk, you see somebody and you say, "You know what they need?" And sometimes we see the physical need, which is a need, but the most important need of his life was salvation. Sometimes when you come to God and you want God to meet you in your situation, and God can,
When he looks at you, what he wants to give you is your most important need. You may not get what you went for to him for, but you're going to get what you need. Now, I don't know what the response of the paralytic was, but I could just sense if you're in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. That man was dancing in his heart. But when you look from the outside, you may believe he did not get what he came for. Folks, we may not get what we came for, but we'll get what we need. Jesus responded with forgiveness. That was number two. Number three, the religious responded with judgment. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. This man is blaspheming. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, when you're only operating with half the truth, you're operating in a lie. You're operating out of the will of God when you're operating with half the truth. Because they did have some good truth. This is what they said. Only God can. Isn't that what they said? So they had the truth. The truth they knew. But they didn't understand that God was in their presence. So therefore, they judged. Mark says, and now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their heart. Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God? See, they had it right. But they're only operating in half of the truth. The other truth is, was God was in front of them in the flesh. Being religious can cause you to miss what God is doing in your time. Being religious can cause you to miss what God is doing in your time. Why? Because we get accustomed of how we do things, how thing is done. Not only that, we believe this is how it is. And this is what the scriptures say. And sometimes God is doing something that it doesn't sit well with us. And what we do, instead of ask God to reveal, we pass judgment. You know, I thought about two people when I read this. I thought of Zechariah and Mary. See, Zechariah, the spirit come and he said, you should have a child. And what did Zechariah? He doubt. Right away. How can this be? He had the same kind of question Mary had. The difference was he already made a judgment call that this can't happen. I am too old. My wife is too old. What you telling me can't happen. I haven't read it. The angels come to Mary and even give her a message that was even more miraculous. You shall have a child. And she asks the same question. Lord, how can this be? I'm a virgin. The difference was she was asking for God to reveal to her what is going to take place because she don't understand it. She wasn't passing judgment. She wanted to understand. Because she know that a virgin can't have a child. So, Lord, how are you going to do this? I don't understand. See, her heart was different. These Pharisees, their heart was not about understanding what God is doing. And I think I really believe when I read this that many of us as Christians, because we're so accustomed of seeing the way things have been done in our time, we're so accustomed of knowing how God operates. We're so accustomed of believing I have the whole truth of the Word of God. That can't be God. And I wonder how many times we miss out on what God is doing in our time. Do not be judged. Don't judge lest you be judged. But with a pure heart, seek God to find out what is he doing. You know, when Brownsville turned out, I went at the end of it. And every time so I said, God, you need to really help me to understand this because it's not sitting well with me. I don't understand this and I don't want to miss what you're doing. I get there. There's a guy with tattoos from here to here, here to here. And he looked like much. And people doing weird things I never see before. And I'm saying, Lord, in my heart, this sure don't look right. And I'm not getting it. But Lord, I don't want to miss you. I want what you have for me. I want to understand. I don't want to miss it. I can't remember how much longer we took the kids to California to a church that was experiencing miracles. And when the youth come back, they were changed. I went there questioning. They went there to receive. And they came back changed. It's not a sin to have questions or to wonder, but it's a sin when the attitude of your heart is not in the right place. So we have our friends, my friends responded with faith. My Lord responded with forgiveness. The religious responded with judgment. Jesus responded by identifying who he is. Matthew chapter 9, verse 5. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he arose and went home. Jesus responded by showing them or letting them understand that he was the Messiah. He was the one that they were waiting on. He was the one that they should have been expecting. He was the one that is come in the flesh. And he said, let me give you the evidence according to the Old Testament. Look what I'm going to do. Arise, pick up your bed, and go home. They have never seen that happen before. I believe if they had the right attitude in their hearts, if they were having the question like Mary, how can this be? The Lord would have still revealed himself and show them that he is the Messiah. And then after Jesus responded by identifying who he was, the crowd responded by glorifying God. And as he rose, immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything
like this. Here it is. We can see the power of God and we can glorify God, but that doesn't mean you have a changed heart. Do you all realize that? That's why there's many people in the church today that are not saved. They have some kind of experience. They have some kind of knowledge. They may even have seen the love that we share as believers. And they glorify God for life and health and strength. And they acknowledge him for that. But they're not saved. Because this scripture said all. And I guarantee you all of those persons seeing there was not saved. But they did glorify God. We do have a responsibility to glorify God. We need to give God glory in everything. But our most important need is salvation. And here's the thing. In light of salvation, your physical healing is nothing to even compare to it. I want to see everybody heal. I want to see everybody walk in newness of life. But the greatest thing is newness of life. If I can pray for someone and they didn't get healed, but when I pray for them, I shared the gospel with them and they got spiritually healed, you should leave there rejoicing. Because God met their greatest need. So how do we respond? We must always respond with God, give me understanding and not judgment. We must always respond glorifying God. Let us pray.